The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
Pat Gray and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck program. 888-727-BECK. It's been a fascinating 24 hours or so since the Steve Bannon discussion began. And the Steve Bannon versus Donald Trump battle began. Lawyers on behalf of President Trump sent a letter yesterday or last night to former White House chief strategist Stephen Bannon, to demanding he refrain from making disparaging comments against the president and his family. Can a president demand that people don't make disparaging comments against him? Is that even a thing in the United States?
It is now.
I hope it's not. Wait a minute. You can't tell me not to say bad things about the president. I have to do it within certain... I can't threaten, obviously.
Right.
But you can say virtually anything you want other than that. How do you send a cease and desist, and desist against saying mean things about the president? You can't do that.
Well, we'll see, won't we?
I guess we will.
We will see.
I guess we will.
Because you're right. No question about it. However, we'll see what happens.
We'll see.
Now, obviously this.
My guess is it's still America in
yes,
that way.
Yeah, there's no way that can stand.
There's no way.
No way that can stand.
You can stop Steve Bannon from saying things that Donald Trump and his family don't like.
Right. And look, and he's already backed up a little bit anyway last night. So where it seems like he wants the kids more than he wants Donald. Mm-hmm. You know, he was bashing the kids more than he bashed
yeah,
Donald.
Yeah, actually on his, I guess it's his show. Is it his show?
Well, it's Breitbart News on the Sirius.
So on Sirius XM, he was actually saying good things about the president.
Yeah. So, you know.
Yes, you're right. His target here is Donald Jr.
Right. But you
for
know,
whatever reason.
Hey, and good luck. I mean, that's a fine line to walk with President Trump, with dad.
You can't walk that line. You can't. You go after, I think going after his children is just like going after him. And I don't blame him for that. I'd be the same way. Donald Trump has obviously not taken kindly to this Steve Bannon news.
Oh, no.
To him speaking to Michael Wolff in this new book. It'll be interesting when this thing actually comes out. Is it Tuesday?
And
the
you know
next
what?
Tuesday?
I don't know.
That's usually when they come out.
You bring someone into your house, and then, you know, not long after that, they turn around and they start throwing knives at you. You know, I mean, he's got a little,
yeah,
got a little point to be pissed.
Yeah, it would be upsetting.
Yeah.
It would be upsetting. But Trump has always kind of dismissed Bannon ever since he left. Ever since he was out of the picture, out of the administration, or out, away from the campaign, Trump's always kind of said, yeah, he came in afterwards.
Yeah,
he had nothing to do with my winning. I'd already won, and he had very little say about anything. It's a different story when you listen to Steve Bannon.
Yes, it is.
And so there's been an interesting yesterday on my show, Pat Gray Unleashed, which immediately follows this on the Blaze Radio and TV network. I was saying that I expected a lot of tweets from the president about Steve Bannon last night. We gave the over-under at 5, and I said it'd be over. It'd be over 5 tweets. He hasn't tweeted at all.
No,
I don't think.
No.
He's just, Don Jr. has, and I think his count is 5 or 6.
Yeah, I mean, Don is like, look, he's squandered the privilege of working with the White House and serving the country, turned it into a backstabbing, harassing, leaking, lying, undermining the president. He's not a strategist. Yeah. He's an opportunist.
That seems to be their thing.
Yes, it is.
That he's not a strategist. He's an opportunist, and he didn't help them at all. He was just looking for an opportunity for power.
And that would bode well with President Trump saying, you know, he came in after.
Yes.
I'd already won.
It fits.
Yes,
it fits.
Yes, it does.
That narrative and fits it well. Now, there's an interview from one of Donald Trump's advisors, Sam Nunberg, who is a former Trump advisor, and he was on with S.E. Cupp, And he had some interesting things to say about this upcoming book from Wolf. In that, I think he mainly admits it's mostly true.
So you're quoted a number of times. Mm-hmm. And at one point, Wolf says, Trump told you that he can be, quote, the most famous man in the world. The quote reads, as the campaign came to an end, right. Trump himself was saying when his ultimate goal, after all, had never been to win. I can now be the most famous man in the world. He apparently told you. Is that true? Did he tell you he didn't plan to win?
No, it's not. Well, what I was telling Michael was a story that in 2014, I was flying down with then Mr. Trump to New Orleans for the Southern Republican Leadership Conference, and we were discussing his run, and he had already mm-hmm. told me he was planning on running. And what I said to him was, 100 years from now, nobody's going to remember, if you don't win the primary or the presidency, who ran. Uh-huh. Frankly, nobody was going to remember who was the president. But I'll tell you what, 100 years from now, when they're covering you, they're not going to be able to write that you didn't run. They're not going to be able to say you were a perennial tease. Mm-hmm. And the one thing I can guarantee you is that you were going to come out well out of this. I can't guarantee you'll win the nomination. That's very hard to do.
So did he say, I'm going to be famous and I don't even need to win? Was any of that true?
What he did say, what the president did say, was, I won't come out badly out of this. I won't come out badly. He kept repeating that to me, and no matter what, we're going to have fun. What I find with Michael, and with the quotes, and I sat with Michael at least three times from my recollection, is Michael takes the quotes and he puts them as direct quotes, but mm-hmm. they're really paraphrasing what I said
okay.
and how I explained it. With that said, I'm not criticizing Michael at all.
Oh, okay. Well, another excerpt is...
Kind of wants to have it both ways, doesn't he?
Yes.
When you were trying to explain the Constitution to then-candidate Trump, Wolf writes, quote, early in the campaign, Sam Nunberg was sent to explain the Constitution to the candidate. Quote, I got as far as the Fourth Amendment, Nunberg recalled, before his finger is pulling down on his lip and his eyes are rolling back in his head. Did that happen?
Well, not exactly. What happened was that it was a week and a half before the first debate. And what I was worried about was that somebody would attack then Mr. Trump and ask him some gotcha question. What is your favorite case about the Supreme Court? Who's your favorite justice? Something like that, just to try to make him look as if he didn't know policy. One thing Trump always told me, and I was wrong about, was that the campaign would be about big issues, be about big communication, be about explaining simple common sense solutions. So when I brought this page and I made it like a crib sheet, maybe a page and a half, we got to around the Fourth or Fifth Amendment, to which he then just started saying, look, I have to do work. And at the time, he was running for president and still running his organization. So once again, Michael kind of takes it out of context, but yes, something similar to that happened.
Okay, so something similar. Sort of what he's saying here, it seems to me, is that the spirit of what is in the book is true.
Yes.
Not necessarily the word-for-word quotes, he seems to be saying.
Okay, I'm trying to get a...
But she continues to push him a little bit,
big
a little bit
here.
Further.
You read mm-hmm. the excerpts. You right. were there. On the whole, mm-hmm. how accurate a picture do you think they paint of the Trump campaign?
Well, I think it was pretty accurate from what I understand towards the end. Remember, I wasn't involved with the campaign at all after around September of 2015. I don't think they expected to win. So when they start with Kellyanne, just going around and blaming Reince earlier in the day, that certainly happened. I mean, she did that on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And I think that the president himself, one thing I had heard from numerous people, not only Steve, but others within the campaign is, for instance, that story about Mnuchin coming on the plane and having to get the wire transfer immediately when then candidate Trump promised to give the $10 million. Mm-hmm. That is 100% accurate. Mm-hmm. I don't think he thought he was going to win until the end when he told a confidant of his, Roger Stone, he said, look, it's trending my way. And it was. So his last 4 days, 5 days, I think he saw something there. And if you remember, he out-campaigned her and he concentrated on certain states and he pulled those states out.
I was there. I know how it happened. Okay. I'm just wondering if you're willing to say that this book is, like, rate it true, half true, mostly true, some true.
I'd rate it half true on the specific examples.
Okay.
Mostly true overall that I don't think.
Like on the gist.
On the gist of it, I'd say mostly true. I do not think that the president thought he was going to win the campaign.
Interesting. I mean, wow. And that seems to be a kind of a common theme from people in and around the Trump camp, was that he never thought he was going to win. And some have claimed he didn't even want to necessarily.
Yeah, he was just in it for the ride.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty interesting. As far as specific quotes that are in this book they're not entirely accurate. But the gist of what he's saying, the spirit of the message, he says, is mostly true.
Okay.
And it's going to be interesting to see. When the book comes out and you get the full context of what they're saying about it, we'll see. We'll see what happens. 888-727 Beck. Nate in Virginia. Hi, you're on the Glenn Beck Program with Pat and Jeffy.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey.
Hey, straight to the point. Bannon's going to get smushed like a bug. It's just the beginning. Trump, let me tell you something. He signed a piece of paper.
He did do that, yes.
When he first jumped on with Trump.
Yeah.
Basically saying that he was going to chill about talking about everything that's going on.
Yeah.
So, legally, Trump does have one up on him already to start with. Secondly, the Trumpists and all the Trumpers and all the wonderful, deplorable people out there, they're not going to side with Bannon on this. They didn't go out and vote to their local polls for Bannon.
Right.
We didn't really even know who Bannon won. You guys warned us about Bannon like 6-8 months ago.
Yeah.
When he was doing all his stuff. I remember you guys sitting there, and I'm just listening to you guys like, these guys hate Trump no matter what. So if they say, no, you guys were right about Bannon.
Huh.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. And you're right, Nate. Appreciate it. Bannon did sign an agreement when he left that he wouldn't disclose, for instance, confidential information. That I don't know that he's accused of even doing that. Disparaging remarks about the president and the family, I don't know that you can actually stop an American citizen from saying disparaging remarks against the president. I don't know that there's any paper you can sign that could actually prevent you from exercising your free speech.
Oh.
If and they're trying to get away, they're trying to talk libel and slander here. And a defamation lawsuit is something else. But you actually can't stop an American citizen from commenting on the president of the United States. I don't care what you sign. 888-727-BECK. More of the Glenn Beck Program with Pat and Jeffy coming up here.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Pat and Jeffy for Glenn, 888-727-BECK. You know, you have to admire the certain je ne sais quoi of President Trump in responding to criticism. he's got a way.
He does have a way. He does have a way.
He's got a way of being so dismissive of anybody who crosses his path, who contradicts him, who criticizes him in any way, they're all of a sudden meaningless.
I mean,
they're worms.
Zero.
Yeah.
I mean, they barely held the door open for me.
Which begs the question, well, then why do you even need to respond? Why do you even respond? But he must.
He must.
He must.
He must. That's his special je ne sais quoi.
He has to. Interestingly, he didn't do this in tweets. But his statement was, Steve Bannon has nothing to do with me or my presidency. When he was fired, he not only lost his job, he lost his mind.
So good.
Steve was a staffer who worked for me. Staffer. It's so minimizing his role. He was a staffer. Barely even knew his name. I think he might have swept up around here after hours when everybody else was gone. I think I saw him once with a broom in his hand, but I'm not even sure I would recognize him if I laid eyes on him today. He was a staffer who worked for me after I'd already won the nomination.
He's got to make that point, too.
Yes, he does.
Big time.
And he's made it often.
Yes, he has.
By defeating 17 candidates, often described as the most talented field ever assembled in the Republican. That's not how he described his opponents when he was running against them, but it is now. He says, now that he's on his own, Steve is learning that winning isn't as easy as I make it look.
See?
It's so crazy.
He's the man.
He's got a panache, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
Steve had very little to do with our historic victory, which was delivered by the forgotten men and women of this country. Yet Steve had everything to do with the loss of a Senate seat in Alabama held for more than 30 years by Republicans. Steve doesn't represent my base. He's only in it for himself.
That's the narrative, right? I mean, that's yeah. Donald Jr.'s tweet of
opportunistic.
He's just an opportunist. That's it. He's not just in it for the ride. And that's their narrative. And they'll bring him down for that. I Bannon's going to have a tough road to hoe to beat these guys.
I think so. Yeah. He's not going to beat Trump at this.
No, he's not going to.
He's not
going to
beat Trump at
just
this game.
Isn't.
Nobody has beaten Trump at this game. You know, you think back to that field of talented candidates. And
right.
They were. He's right about that.
Yes, they were.
All good politicians, some of them really strong conservatives.
And they all thought that they had a way to get around that and win.
Look what happened to Rubio. Rubio was pretty much the only one who took Donald Trump on directly. Rubio went right after him. And Rubio was destroyed.
I know.
But because Trump has that way of just making you look like you're meaningless. You're a little Marco. Little Marco
dismisses you.
It's really fascinating.
It sure is.
There's going to be, I mean, history's going to look back on this time, and this is going to be an important time to show people. And I don't even know that anybody else will ever win with that strategy.
I don't think
this was a certain guy at a certain time in a certain place with a certain attitude.
I mean, we're finding that out with some of down the Senate races and some of the congressional races where people have tried to be Trump-ish.
Roy Moore sort of tried that.
You're not Trump.
Yeah. And it seems maybe that only works for Donald Trump. Maybe that's a one-person thing.
I think it is.
A 1 in 7 billion occurrence. It's going to be interesting to see. When we look back on this 20 or 30 years from now and history writes about it, what they say about it, because it's fascinating and it's so unique.
It sure is. It's very unique. And just ask Donald. I mean, he's the one and only. Right? I mean, he's it. And, I mean, no, look, and even Bannon is finding out that no one makes winning look easy. Winning
like
isn't
Donald.
As easy as I make it look.
Right. But for his part,
so
Bannon,
good.
Who maybe is backing off this whole thing a little bit. You know, because he doesn't, you don't want to pick a fight with the president. You don't want that. He wins every time, virtually every time. Bannon responded to President Trump's statement on the SiriusXM show. He told a listener who called in, the president of the United States is a great man. You know I support him day in and day out, whether going through the country, giving the Trump miracle speech, or on the show or on the website.
Right.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
After everything's been said and is being said about him, that's quite a statement.
It is.
Carl in Texas.
Yes, it is.
You're on the Glenn Beck program.
Yeah, Pat, I'm not a Bannon supporter, but I do believe that Trump can't deny that the way his campaign was being run in the run-up to him being elected, he can't say it wasn't affected by Bannon being brought on board, because I think that was a turning point for his campaign. I think Bannon overall is just generally a patriot. He's probably not too colorful, or he's probably too colorful in what his viewpoints are. I don't agree with all of them.
Yeah.
But I believe Trump is actually showing himself who I've always thought he was. I'll be honest with you, when my wife and I were definitely split on this, running up to his election. And it troubles me to hear that he probably wasn't thinking he was really going to win, because that makes me think he wasn't seriously approaching possibly being the president of the United States.
That's right.
Yeah, that is it. Yeah. It's a concern.
When I left the polls, I told my wife, and I said it publicly to the large crowd and line that was outside our polling place in Texas. I said, I feel so dirty. And my statement was, I voted for Trump, and she did too, and she was proud of me, but I just think there was something about him that I didn't like, and I couldn't put my finger on it.
It was tough, and kind of still is in some ways. More of the Glenn Beck program coming up.
Glenn Beck. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
With Pat Gray and Jeffy, and we've been kind of musing about what a fascinating situation this is with Donald Trump and Steve Bannon. And looking back at the 2016 race of the people that he rightly claims he destroyed. It was a talented field, and he won, and Steve Bannon didn't understand that winning isn't as easy as he made it look.
And he called them the most
Talented field ever assembled.
And I kind of believe that.
I do believe that. There were some great candidates,
yes, there were.
And he beat them all. And not only did he beat them, he annihilated everybody.
I got to tell you,
he might have tainted them to the point where they can't even run again in 2020 for president.
I honestly believe that. Name one person. You go through the list. Name one person who you think could run in 2020
from
that group.
We just mentioned this. No, I don't think Bush can run again.
He's done.
Ben Carson? Think he's done.
No.
Chris Christie is certainly done. But it wasn't just this race that
definitely
this finished him off.
Yeah.
Ted Cruz?
No way.
I think was thoroughly tainted.
No way.
As far as presidentially speaking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No,
as far as a presidential candidate, I think he'll be fine. He'll be great as Texas senator.
He's a great senator.
Great senator.
From the state of Texas.
I still support him a lot. I just don't think he has a chance to win the presidency
anymore. Specifically talking about the presidency. These guys should do exactly what they're doing now. But to run for president, my opinion,
can't do it.
That's a time and money waster.
Yeah, I think so too. Jim Gilmore. Now, I know you've got a special place in your heart for him.
Wait a minute. I forgot about Jim Gilmore.
He's done. Lindsey Graham shouldn't have been in the race in the first place. He never had a chance, but he certainly doesn't now. Mike Huckabee, completely destroyed politically. Trump completely destroyed him.
And threw him a bone by hiring his daughter.
Yes.
I mean, that's what he does.
Yes.
I hired your daughter. Shut up.
Bobby Jindal, I don't know that I feel the same way about Jindal. He could maybe run again.
Maybe. But
maybe he dropped out at the right time, didn't get involved in all of the back and forth. Maybe Jindal's okay.
Maybe.
But I think Kasich is done.
Oh, have a nice
Pataki
day.
Never had a chance. I think Rand Paul is done as far as presidency.
Yes. Yes. Who else? I'm still.
Marco Rubio.
See,
he may have been too tainted. Trump did such a good job of destroying these guys.
Sure did.
That they all seem do they not seem kind of tainted as far as the presidential run is
yes.
concerned? You know, Rick Santorum, I thought, was tainted in the 2016 race. Now, I'm not even sure. I can't put my finger on what happened to Santorum because I was a big supporter in 2012.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't want him to run again.
No way. I mean, look, he ran last time.
I didn't want him
time.
To run last time.
Right. And he ran last time and ended up, he was with Lindsey at the kids' table for the debates.
Right.
Which was fine.
Right.
I mean, those guys are all smart men, and they're in positions that, that they definitely worked hard to get. But after this campaign, this last campaign for president, Donald Trump.
It's tough.
There's a reason he won.
Yeah, there is.
I mean, he was scorched earth on those guys.
Yeah.
Man.
I think he burned down the whole field. Maybe Scott Walker?
No way.
Maybe Walker. I don't know. He may have dropped out early enough to have not gotten the wrath of Trump.
Maybe. You say Jindal
I don't
and
have
Walker,
the chance. I don't have Jindal the same feeling about Jindal and Walker as I do the rest of this field.
But I don't know that they are. I don't know that they have enough panache to be president.
Maybe not. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. We'll see. On the Democrat side, who's got a bright, bright future is Lincoln Chafee, because he proposed the metric system, and America took to that like a duck to water. Man,
I don't think it was reported.
Did we respond? It wasn't. It was downplayed by the media, who doesn't want us to adopt that.
That's what I mean.
System.
I don't think it was reported enough. If we could get it out there, if we could get the word out there and explain it
better.
He would
have won in a landslide.
I agree.
No, but in reality, I think most of the GOP field is done and tainted for 2020.
Gosh.
And if President Trump weren't to run again, the only person I can really think has a really good shot and has been untainted from any of this is Ben Sasse.
Yeah.
I think Ben Sasse would be a great alternative.
I don't think there's anyone else. But
seems
I don't know that there is anyone else. I mean, maybe I give you Walker and
Jindal. Walker and Jindal.
Maybe.
But definitely Ben Sasse.
Yes.
Because he didn't run.
No, he did. He got no.
Thank goodness for him. He didn't run. So he may have a future.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Maybe we're completely wrong, but that's just my impression. That's my feeling right now is that, yes, Donald Trump burned down the rest of the field.
America looks at the rest barring a couple of people that we mentioned. America, I think, at least through my eyes, looking at that campaign field up on stage, I mean, I'm looking at all those guys in my head right now thinking, not one of them I would vote for.
Yeah. President Trump, then candidate Trump, did such an effective job with these guys that I can't look at Marco Rubio anymore without thinking little Marco.
I know.
Isn't that amazing?
I know.
Such a simple but degrading term.
I know. And listen, it's difficult.
And it's stuck.
And it's difficult for me alone, to see Ted Cruz, who is a senator who I voted for here in this great state of Texas, and
absolutely,
I will vote for again.
Yes.
Without thinking, you
he's
know,
got an election coming up. I'll definitely be voting
here
for
in Lion Ted.
Yeah.
I mean, I just can't. I know it's not true.
It's not true.
But it's there.
But it was effective.
You're never going to get rid of it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a strange and interesting phenomenon
it
with
sure
Donald
is.
Trump. It really is.
There's
something about him that.
I mean, that's his right. I mean, nobody else is going to be that. Nobody else. Other people have tried it and they lose and they get looked at like they're complete dirt bags. And
yeah.
I mean, because they're not Trump.
Yeah. Tommy in New York. Welcome to the Glenn Beck Program. Hey, Tommy.
Hey, I just wanted to say, in line with what you're talking about, I think everyone owes Donald Trump a debt of gratitude for winning this election and stumbling into the presidency and foiling a plot or a coup to take over our government, our American way of life, and turning it into some type of socialist Marxist state that Barack Obama had already started
yes.
for 8 years.
Yes, and you're right. We were well on the way towards
that.
We
sure were.
Right? And Hillary would have absolutely continued that. She would have absolutely
yes.
continued that trend.
She doesn't care.
There's definitely something to that, Tommy.
Yeah, there is something to that. And
there's
Hillary definitely would have, you know, I mean, that was already a done deal.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So
right.
with anyone else running against Hillary, it would have been, you know, I mean, very possible Hillary would have won.
Yeah, definitely. Did you have a further comment, Tommy? No. Oh, we lost him. Premature hang-up.
And we have thanked Donald for that, right? I mean, we truly have. I mean, he's done, look.
Yeah.
America, we talked about it yesterday, you know, while you don't necessarily, I mean, make America great again, while I'm not, you know, crazy about that. And Donald doesn't make me, you know, feel like that America is but he does make me feel like America is the United States of America, the greatest country on the planet
yeah.
again.
Yeah. And you certainly didn't have that feeling with Obama.
No, I did not.
Andrew in North Carolina, you're on the Glenn Beck Program. Hi.
Hey, gentlemen, thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I have one question. What does this change about what we know about Trump? He's not a politician. I don't think this changes anything.
No,
he's
it doesn't.
He's not a politician. His family's not a politician. Would you rather have him in, who, you know, I listened to Morning Joe spout about how much he doesn't like to read and, you know, how dumb he is.
Yeah.
I don't think he's dumb. Would you rather have him in, who's doing a pretty decent job, or Clinton, who likes to take so much money under the table, it's not even funny. I mean, there's no comparison.
No.
And if you look at it from 50,000 feet, you know, probably shouldn't bring up Obama, but they had to have a full-time handler live in the White House to keep him on the path with Valerie Jarrett. You know, he watched a lot of SportsCenter. They're just human beings that are in office.
Yeah.
Trump's not perfect, but I think he's doing a pretty good job. And I think this is long-term going to strengthen him, this divorce with Bannon.
Yeah. Appreciate it. Thanks a lot, Andrew. And, you know, you're right. We've made this point many times. Pleasantly surprised so far with the
yes.
job he's done.
And look, absolutely.
I mean, there's things I don't like, but there is, on the other hand, much to like. And a lot more than I thought there would be.
Amen to that.
Margarita in Florida.
Yes.
Hi.
Good morning. Good morning, Glenn. I just wanted to comment that while the Constitution gives us rights, mm-hmm. we have the right, the freedom to waive those rights. And oftentimes when you take an employment with somebody, right. you waive your right to freedom of speech. You agree to confidentiality. Yes. Or you might agree to a non-compete agreement. Or you can waive your right to speedy trial or waive your right to an attorney. You can waive rights. And yes, Donald Trump has a right now.
Well, you can in the fact that you can be sued for certain things, but you cannot be stopped from voicing your opinion on politics,
well, nobody can
certainly.
Nobody can stop you, but if you were employed in the White House and you signed a confidentiality agreement, you waived your right to speak about what went
on. Well, confidentiality, though, is different from criticism. I don't know that anybody can actually, you know, you can sign all kinds of agreements, and many times they don't hold up in court. Like, I can sign a non-compete and then get a job somewhere else if this company doesn't continue to pay me, because there's almost no judge on the planet who would stop me from earning a living. Some of these agreements just aren't worth the paper they're written on. And I don't see how you could ever stop somebody's right to criticize the government. That's not America.
Obviously, that's a fight for the courts.
Anybody can criticize your government. You're correct.
Yes.
But when you sign an agreement for as terms of employment, just like all of the people that are in the CIA and all of these agencies, they sign agreements not to speak.
Right. Well, about certain things.
Right, about certain about things. Certain not things. Their opinions.
Yeah. You always have the right to your opinion, but you can't give away state secrets and campaign secrets. Those kinds of things are understandable, that kind of confidentiality. But when it comes to saying, hey, I don't think they're doing a good job, or this president is a scumbag, that should be your right. I mean, that right always holds
up. I agree. Yeah. I agree you're entitled to give your opinion. It was my understanding, I haven't read the book, but it was my understanding that he was making statements about things that were going on in the administration.
That's very possible.
The book hasn't come out yet, so I'm not sure how deeply he goes. But
and you're right with the waiving the rights. I mean, that's our argument, or at least, you know, a little bit of our fighting against the NFL players, right? Is that
Of course they have the right to do it.
You can write whatever you want, but you signed a deal to play on the field, so we're going to tell you what you can do while you're on the field.
Right. Exactly right.
Perfect example.
It is.
Great job, Glenn.
All right. Pat, but thank you, Margaret.
Thank you.
No problem. Hey, Glenn.
thanks, Steve. Appreciate it. No problem. Is it Siobhan in Georgia?
It is Siobhan. Good morning, Pat and Jesse. I know who I'm talking to.
Thank you.
I was a little late coming in on the conversation about all the past candidates and the last election. And I was sitting here thinking, well, first of all, I was like I was a never Trumper, no way Hill. I mean, there was no way.
Me
and,
too.
You know, there was right. Mm-hmm. And there was a meme going around with a kid with a kitchen knife and about to put it into electrical socket, like which one would be worse? You know what I mean? Trump, Hill, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's where I was. But the thing that I was remembering, Carly Fiorina would like seriously give
forgot about Fiorina.
What's her name? Elizabeth Warren, a run for her money.
She sure
because she was amazing as a VP with.
She was the only one, and I think we talked about this at the time. She was the only one that really kind of stunned Trump and really sort of scored some serious points in a direct matchup between the two.
But I don't know that
she really did.
She did.
I don't know that she got. Speaking of running in 2020, though, I don't think she got away without getting burned.
I don't know.
From the Trump.
I don't know about that. I don't know if I have this. She's kind of more like a Jindalyn Walker to me. She might.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe there's a possibility.
Okay.
Thanks, Siobhan.
It's a good reminder of her, though. We didn't mention her, and that was a mistake.
Yeah. 888-727 Bex. You're so sexist, Jeffy. That's such a sexist. All right. We've got let me tell you about our sponsor this half hour. It is Simply Safe. If you've been thinking about your home security, and who doesn't, there's no better time to get some than right now. You've heard us talk about, Glenn has talked about it, I've talked about the praises of Simply Safe home security, just the best protection, period. They've put together a massive security arsenal for your home. It's a special package, handpicked just for you. It has entry sensors, motion sensors, glass break sensors, virtually everything you need to stop criminals from ever getting inside your home and messing up your life. These are guys I trust, and I know Glenn does as well. And right now, Simply Safe is giving you an incredible offer. You get $200 off this hand-picked security package. Just go to simplysafebeck.com, possibly the best home security deal you will ever see. Simplysafebeck.com, save $200 on their home security pick. Simplysafe.com. SimplySafeBeck.com.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
It's Pat and Jeffy for Glenn, 888-727-BECK. Been kind of musing about, you know, in this battle between Donald Trump and Steve Bannon. You know Trump wins that war every day, all day. Just as he won the war with 17 mostly really respectable and formidable candidates, and he just made them all look bad.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that any of them win. We mentioned, you know,
mentioned
maybe...
the ones who came out the most unscathed, maybe Jindal, Walker, and perhaps Carly Fiorina.
Now, the one thing, you know, we were talking for the first time, I think, since the birth of Bobby Jindal, we mentioned him possibly still having a chance, but is he? So he must be past the drink now. The water.
Oh yeah, the
must
speech.
Be past
where,
the speech. Yeah, way past the speech.
Because you and I cited that the entire campaign as the reason
the
we just can't quite get there
all
him.
The time because of the stupid speech.
You remember the speech where he took the drink of water?
And he was supposed. I mean, he
it
was
ruined him
because he was touted as like the front runner guy, right? He was the new king.
Yeah,
and through the whole speech was water.
Yeah,
it was really. Really bad. So he's past that now.
I'd forgotten about
See
the
what
drink.
I mean? That's what I mean. We're past
he
it now.
He tainted himself with that.
Thank you.
So,
thank you.
More Glenn Beck with Pat and Jeffy coming up.
Glenn Beck. Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
It's Pat Gray and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck program. We've been fascinated by this battle between Donald Trump and Steve Bannon, and have kind of been musing about Trump's interesting way of winning the battles he wages. Yeah. It's really something that I don't think I've ever seen anything like it. We've probably mentioned that multiple times during the campaign, but. As you look at prospective candidates for next time, if the president doesn't run for a second term, and his wife actually said she doesn't want him to, or he won't. Do you remember that like a month or two ago, she was interviewed and she thought maybe
that he wouldn't.
That he wouldn't. And she might be okay with that.
Oh, I bet
that's
they
a
would.
Tough job. And that's yeah, it's tough to beat in this kind of limelight.
Melania didn't sign up for that.
No, right.
No, she's not. I mean, while she's been. Great as a first lady. I mean, she's done mm-hmm. nothing to diminish that role, but it's not the role that she wants to
I'm
play.
Sure it wasn't her lifelong dream.
No, it was not.
To have this kind of scrutiny. Oh, what a nightmare that would be. So as we look back at the field of 2016, it just feels to me, and I think mostly to Jeffy, that there's a lot of tainted candidates.
Oh, man.
Who probably wouldn't have much of a shot at the presidency at this point. And I guess that could change because things change dramatically overnight sometimes.
They sure do. But we've gone down the list and we've maybe, mm-hmm. you know, brought a couple back that might have a possibility because when I was first thinking about it earlier this morning, I didn't think there was one that did not get tainted from the Trump scorched earth campaign.
Right.
I mean, not one. Because
right.
I looked at those, I think about those guys now and I'm like, I like them. Mm-hmm. I appreciate them.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate what they're doing today. If they're still in office, if they're doing things, that's great. I would still, you know, I'd vote for Marco. I voted for Marco Rubio once in my life. I'd vote for him again if I had the opportunity. Ted Cruz, I voted for once. Mm-hmm. I'd vote for him again, given the opportunity.
Absolutely.
But not for president.
Well, yeah, I don't know that we'll ever have that chance again because they must sense that something's changed since last they ran. You look at a guy like Jeb Bush. I don't think there's any way he'd throw his hat in the ring again. He just got destroyed. Chris Christie did a good job of destroying his own political career.
Yeah, sure did.
Guys like Ben Carson, I think, are done, and Mike Huckabee, certainly. Kasich. Would you want John Kasich to ever run again? No. I didn't want him to run that time.
I barely want to see him as a governor.
I didn't, actually. Rand Paul? I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know.
I think he will run, but has he been tainted a little
I
bit too?
I think he has.
I mean, Trump steamrolled this field. So my thought is maybe an outside chance for little Marco Rubio, although he's been tainted with that. Then you think Bobby Jindal perhaps and Walker, the guys who got out of it fairly early and missed a lot of the salvos from President Trump.
Yeah, they did, yes.
Maybe have a shot, but I think the guy best suited to run if President Trump doesn't run for a second term would be Ben Sasse, because he was completely out of that.
Yes, he was.
Now he's commented on Trump, but I don't think he's been steamrolled.
No, he has not. No, Donald has not tried to burn him at all.
And for the Democrats, I can't even think. You know, obviously they're going to go to Elizabeth
Warren.
And they're going to try to convince Joe Biden to come out of his mothballs. He's packed away and forgotten.
Right. These guys,
Bernie Sanders, is he going to be pushing 80?
We're talking about Orrin Hatch retiring at 83, right? At the end of this year. And they're talking about replacing him with a 70-year-old man. Now, look, age is all
Mitt
relative.
Romney. Yeah,
age
70,
is all relative. I get it. Whatever age you're at, that older age doesn't look as bad as it did when you were younger.
But think about that. Mitt Romney is 70 now. He serves one term. You're 76.
Yeah.
Maybe 77 by the time that comes around. Wow.
Right.
For a second term going into it. And you know what we'll hear if that is the case? Well, 77 is the new 47.
Well, and it is, right? I mean, for sure, probably. 77 is
the, it's not the like new, it used to be. That's
no,
for
not
sure.
even close. It's the new 60 anyway, yes. Right? I mean, 75
probably
is definitely 60.
Yeah.
In today's world. But, yeah. Is it worth having in an office?
I mean, look at you. You don't look a day past your mid-100s.
Thank you. I think. Thank you.
And to you, the mid-100s are like... the mid-100s of the old.
Man, I remember the mid-100s, man. I felt like a whippersnapper.
Jim in North Carolina. You're on the Glenn Beck Program with Pat and Jeffy. Hi.
Hey, Pat, Jeff.
Hey.
Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, just real quick, what really irritates me is the way that they denigrate Trump and his intelligence. And I was telling the other gentleman that back about 20 years ago, 22 years ago in Miami, I had the... he was negotiating. We had he had a property. I was doing zoning, and it was multifaceted. There were zoning problems, legal problems, the city. He wanted the city to do some things. And he came in, and some of them are called intractable problems that they'd been working on for 9 months, 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing to watch him at work. He broke it down. We walked out of that meeting with legal issues. They even threw a potential lawsuit from a homeowners association in the morning that had just come up. And he handled each of those. And it was amazing to see his negotiating skills. And I remember him looking at the Miami's planning director saying, I don't want this anymore because I don't want the city council to have to vote on it. So we're going to keep it at your level. Are you able to make a decision? And he said no. So Trump and the planning director, after everything was done, left that meeting and went and saw the city manager. And for these media types and the people that work with Trump to say that he is anything less than intelligent, I mean, he went to Wharton School a bit. And I vote for mm-hmm. Cruz, by the way.
I know.
I'm a Cruiser. But let me tell you, I am so happy he made it. And he graduated from the school Penn School of Business, Wharton, which mm-hmm. is an amazing school, one of the best, and to call him
no doubt.
Less than intelligent. But watching him at the table, he was self-effacing. He broke it down where the other people were trying to complicate it. He moved things off the table. He knew that he was give and take, and he won, and he got everything we needed. Then he turned around and sold the project before he even built it, but that's another story.
Yeah. Well, Jim, I don't think there's any question that there's intelligence with Donald Trump, because you don't become a billionaire by being a moron.
No, you just don't.
And but I think there are things he just doesn't care about and hasn't paid any attention to. And those things are the things that I was concerned with during the campaign. But you're right. I think he's a smart guy. There's just some of these things were beyond his interest level. And
right.
I think now he's interested. And I think, you know, he's obviously starting to ramp up and understand the things that he must understand as president.
And an example of that is the interview that we played from the SC Cup show, where he was like, we got to the Fourth Amendment, and Trump was like, I got to work.
Yeah, I don't have time for this.
I don't care about this.
Right.
I got other stuff to do.
Yeah.
He prioritizes, and I believe that when the Fourth Amendment comes up or the Second Amendment, he'll be right on top of it and be prioritizing making good decisions.
I don't doubt that now.
I voted for now.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Jim. It's tough with Trump because, you know, clearly during the course of the campaign, we found there were weaknesses in his knowledge of certain things that are important when you rise to the office of the president of the United States. But I think since he's been brought up to speed on a lot of that.
Yes, he has. And again, we
he's done a surprisingly good job.
And we also talked about, you know, he'll surround himself with some people that do have the depth of that knowledge and can give him, you know, help him through it, which appears to be the case.
888-727 Beck, Steve in North Dakota. You're on with Pat and Jeffy. Hi.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Yeah, so this has been bothering me for quite a while, that watching Lois Lerner be questioned in front of Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And she's working for, you know, the IRS, but the U.S. government. Well, you got to swear to uphold the Constitution of the United States. You know, I'm a retired military. And when you're brought before Congress and they're questioning you about your specific job, and if you have to plead the Fifth, because what you're doing on your job may incriminate you, shouldn't you automatically be discharged from your position? I mean, you know, you go back to work. So how'd it go today? Well, I pleaded the Fifth. Oh, so business as usual, back to work? Like, what?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
You're a government employee and you're pleading the Fifth? You're doing things that may incriminate you? Bye. That should be a part of your contract.
That's
to plead the Fifth?
Right.
Fine.
Now, people would scream that that's a violation.
I don't have a job anymore.
People would scream about that being a violation, but you don't have a right to keep your job. You just have a right not to be prosecuted for something like that. I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's neat to know, Steve. We can't talk about that right now.
Brian in Oklahoma, you're on the Glenn Beck program. Hi.
Hey, I kind of think you guys are possibly dead wrong on Rand Paul because a couple of good reasons.
Okay.
First of all, he's got his father's libertarian base backing him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Second of all, he's kind of taking.
That didn't go very far for him in 2016, though. Did it?
Well, we're still behind him. Second of all, he's taken over for Tom Coburn on the kind of government waste thing. He put out a great thing the past couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. We didn't point out this is a ridiculous government waste. Three, he's been like our champion for privacy. He's been taking on this. There's right now they're trying to give a permanent extension to the spying bill, and he's taken a stand against it. And also, he's been our best guy for the economics. He was willing to take a stand on, you know, getting the budget done, and was, you know, did the stand in where he just, you know, brought everything to a halt. He's the kind of guy. I mean, and I'm telling you, I mean, if you put him with somebody like Trey Gowdy on a ticket, Trump would have a problem. Or, you know, that was the thing I loved about Carly Fiorina was she was a CEO, so it was CEO versus CEO when you watch them two argue.
And because
Trump's a business guy, and when he's taking on Fiorina, she was head of HP. So it was like in a negotiating table where, you know, watching them two go at it. I love it.
I don't think
make a good ticket there with one of those guys.
You may be right about Rand Paul running again and not being scorched from the Trump campaign, but to run against, you just mentioned the possibility of him, say, running against Trump again? No way.
No, I don't think any Republican would primary Trump. No, I don't think so.
I think he was marginalized by the people who were moderating the debate. I don't think every time he started to make a good point, they moved away from him.
Yeah.
On purpose.
Well,
I was watching it. Those kind of guys were always the last ones to get a good question and the last ones to get any kind of reply.
Yeah. What is up, though, do you think, with the beating he got in his own yard? And he won't say anything about that. He will.
Brian.
I'm a little bothered by that. It's interesting to me that a guy beat you within an inch of your life.
No kidding. I mean, he was really injured.
Yeah, he was seriously injured, and the guy told him why he did it, but he will not disclose that. I don't understand that right now. Not that that disqualifies him from a presidential run. It's bothersome to me because is there something to hide there? I don't know.
Well, I don't know. Where he lives, I suspect the kind of people that he may be, you know, some of his neighbors. Mm-hmm. Let's just say liberalism is a mental disorder.
And I'll leave it at that.
Thanks, Brian. 888-727-BECK.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
It's Pat and Jeffy for Glenn. It'll be back bright and early Monday morning. 888-727-BECK. I was really surprised that President Trump refrained from tweeting yesterday.
I know.
About this Bannon thing. That was shocking.
He did a statement.
They did a statement, left it at that. He didn't tweet about it all day. I didn't know if he was even capable of doing that.
Well, earlier yesterday, he lost his phone. I mean, he didn't tweet until late in the morning. I thought there was an issue. So there might have been an issue with
him. I wonder if somebody finally convinced him, you know, tweeting about everything that's on your mind is maybe not the best idea. Maybe. Who knows?
That seems to work for about a day.
Donald Jr., on the other hand, tweeted quite a bit.
Yes, he did.
Steve had the honor of working in the White House, according to Don Jr.'s tweet, and serving the country. Unfortunately, he squandered that privilege and turned that opportunity into a nightmare of backstabbing, harassing, leaking, lying, and undermining the president. Steve is not a strategist. He's an opportunist.
Think about it.
In earlier tweets, Don Jr. said, Andrew Breitbart would be ashamed of the division and lies Steve Bannon is spreading.
Oof.
So maybe he just left the tweeting to his son, thinking, he's taking care of that part.
I think he did.
I think he did.
I think he did, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's also, especially after Bannon was played nice, and tried to say that, you know, he was still friends.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't
on his radio show yesterday.
Yeah, on the Breitbart News thing for Sirius. So
maybe that helped.
It may have eased a little bit of that.
It's possible. Donald in Ohio, you're on the Glenn Beck program. Hi.
Hello, Pat and Jeff. How are you guys doing?
Doing good.
All right.
Hey, two questions. First question, is there any chance that, let's say things go well in the next couple of years, we hold the Senate and the House, is there any chance Trump would say, hey, I'm only going to run one term, I'm endorsing Pence to run, and I want the Congress to impose term limits on themselves? Or is there any chance that could happen?
Well, I think there's definitely a chance, he turns it over to somebody else.
That'd be strong.
Yeah.
I think he could ride into the sunset as a, you know, going out with one term and saying, look, I'm going to put a limit on my term, and I want Congress to do the same.
Yeah, and look what, thanks for the call, Donald. Look what serving in the office of the presidency has done for other people afterwards. They've increased their wealth exponentially as a result of the presidency. An already super successful billionaire businessman, what will that do for him? If he just does the one term and then turns his thoughts to his own business.
But if...
It'd be huge.
It would be. But
and we had forgotten about Pence, the possibility of Pence.
Well, I was just going to go there.
As vice president?
If Donald does that, what would he call for? So he says, I'm running one term and I'm going to back Mike Pence and he's my vice president. I want him. Does Pence walk in under the Trump umbrella or do people fight Pence like Ben Sasse and some of the people that are scorched earth?
He'd be primaried, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Pence would have you'd have an inside track, though, especially if he stays on the good side of Donald Trump.
And Donald does some campaigning for him.
Mm-hmm. Randy in North Carolina, welcome to the Glenn Beck program.
Well, good morning, Glenn Beck. does anybody else know that you're Pat Gray other than me?
There's a few. There's a couple that are paying attention. Yeah.
Wait, what?
There's a couple.
Well, I don't know. I've been listening here going, hey, what the? How the? Hey, Steve Bannon, I'm not a fan. I'm a Cruz supporter.
No, I'm not either. That's, yeah.
Well, so many of Beck's fans, Cruz, for a reason, you know, for good reason.
Yeah.
However, and I'm more than pleased with what I'm seeing, but that's another subject. Bannon, he was the devil, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
Is he going to become an angel?
Well, he is.
Is he going to be a...
If he sticks to whatever negative rhetoric he had in the book... For Trump, although he didn't do that last night, so I don't know. As long as he sticks to the criticism in the book, the media is going to love him. Absolutely. That's all it takes, really. That is all it takes.
I remember
from the left.
Comey, exactly. The whole Comey is the devil. Comey is an angel. Is he the devil again? Is he an angel
right.
now? Here comes
right.
Bannon. Bannon, and a lot of conservatives are not fans of Bannon. I right. know you know that.
Yes.
And, you know, Jabba the Hutt or, you know, whatever. But he bothers me in many ways. Sometimes, some ways he doesn't. However, I'm not a fan, but I'm very, very curious. And I'm waiting with bated breath to see CNN turn him into, unless they already have, an angel.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for the call, Randy. That's it's a good observation because if he sticks to criticizing Trump, oh, he's going to be a hero to the left. He'll be on CNN and MSNBC every day. 888-727-BECK. It's Pat Gray and Jeffy for Glenn Beck.
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
With Pat and Jeffy, 888-727-BECK. French President Emmanuel Macron has said he's going to overhaul media laws in France this year.
Good.
He's going to fight the spread of fake news on social media. That's
good.
Good for him. Good for him. How in the world do you... Who gets to decide what's fake news and what's not?
He does.
There's your problem. Right there.
Why is that?
Right there.
What do you mean?
When the head of the country is deciding what's fake news and what isn't.
He'll pick a couple people that he believes to smart enough to decide, and that's their job.
Sure.
That's the fake news department over there.
He's openly accused TV channel RT, the Russian Today, station, which is a pile of crap. But he accused them of sowing disinformation about him. He says, if we want to protect liberal democracies... We must have strong legislation. Man, that's the way that oppression
sure
begins
oh
right
my
there.
Gosh.
Good luck in so France. Bad. Speaking of France in French, this is incredible news. And I can't believe we haven't discussed it until now. Taco Bell is introducing French fries.
I was just thinking the same thing. I saw the ad. I was like, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, Ted Cruz couldn't be president again. Taco Bell
has
fries.
What about fries at Taco Bell?
And it's funny that you were reminded of that talking about France.
Mm-hmm. Because especially since French fries have nothing to do with France.
I mean, at Taco Bell. French fries. They look good.
I guess this has been speculated. They apparently serve this overseas, but they haven't done it here until soon. It's coming
at the end of this month.
They're test marketing it right now in West Virginia and California. And they're going to bring it nationwide. Think of that. So they've already got the menu, the dollar menu items, right. The range from breakfast tacos to cinnamon twists. Now they're bringing in the French fries that will also come with a side of nacho cheese.
Oh, yeah.
Or you can opt for the supreme, adding pico de gallo beef and sour cream on top.
I mean, maybe.
Oh, my God.
Maybe, but some fries and some nacho cheese and three or four tacos, you're pretty much good.
Is this a great time to be alive or what? 888-727-BECK.
This is all because of the Trump's tax plan.
That's exactly what it is. It's giving opportunities
Thank you.
To businesses to really expand and grow and offer people French fries.
Thank you.
George in Pennsylvania, you're on the Glenn Beck Program.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Good morning, gentlemen and Jeffy.
Thank you.
What you're seeing here is I think Trump is acting as an executive, somebody who's taken over a new company, as it were. Mm-hmm. He's learning where his tools are, how he can go about getting things done, learning what embedded staff is in place. And I figured that the first 6 months, 8 months were going to be very difficult to figure out what he can do, what he can control directly, what he has to make deals with, and all that. But I think it's going to smooth out as it goes here because he realizes he can't have his way 100%. And that's why you're seeing things like the tax plan got passed. But also I think the tax plan got passed because if it didn't, Republicans were going to be absolutely decimated going into the midterms. And mm-hmm. I don't think that that's going to be the case this time.
Yeah, so. I hope not. Thanks for the call, George. It is possible, though, that it's the tax plan, the tax bill won't be quite enough to offset what everybody expects is going to be a favorable outcome for the Democrats in November. But I don't know. Anything can happen between now and then, and perceptions can change completely in this amount of time. Mike in Utah, you're on the Glenn Beck program. Hi.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Boy, listening to you talk about the French fries at Taco Bell made me really reminisce for those days of spoons. I miss the spoons. So I think you guys are giving Trump too much credit for decimating the Republican field. You know, the way I see it, what he did was, he took out, who did he take out? He took out the moderates. He took out Bush. He took out Christie. He took out Kasich. And he left the conservatives to split the vote. I mean, guys, at the very end, had Marco Rubio not been in Florida or even Ben Carson gotten out before Texas, Cruz would have gotten the super majority that he needed in Texas and picked up more votes. They were fracturing Cruz's votes. Cruz could have beaten Trump if he didn't have 10 other conservatives siphoning votes off. I mean, what did Trump wind up with, 30-some percent of the take every time? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not a winning formula. I still think that a conservative could beat him if there aren't 15 conservatives taking all the votes.
Yeah, at the end, though, at the end, it was just Trump, Cruz, and Kasich. So,
right.
And he lost, and Ted lost that battle.
He was the only conservative
at that time when that Super Tuesday happened, where he had to win some of the states and couldn't quite get enough of it done. So I don't know. I mean, we underestimated this guy the entire campaign.
Sure.
I just don't want to do that anymore because
sure did. And look,
we're proven completely wrong.
And maybe I'm wrong. You know, maybe I'm too inside. Maybe I've seen. You know, we've watched it. We've covered every angle of all these guys. But when I start thinking of all of them up on that stage again, and even with Carly and Bobby Jindal and maybe Walker, they're done. They're done, man. I don't see them winning over America anymore.
We'll see. Appreciate the call, Mike. Actually, it wouldn't be an option between, let's say, Ted Cruz and Donald Trump anyway.
Because no, I know.
They'd never challenge a sitting president in the field.
And that's
so
kind
he
of
would have to be completely out of it for that.
And that's kind
happen.
Of the point where if he steps down and whoever he puts his hand on, whoever he anoints.
Which would probably be Pence.
I mean, that's still going to be a tough road to go up against him, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you probably have a better chance against him than anyone else. Well, other than Trump, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you might be able to pull off beating Pence.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, again, you'd have to be untainted. I still believe that they kind of are.
I know. That's what I mean. I know.
Could Ben Sasse beat Pence? I don't know. He'll have to do a lot between now and then.
Yes,
helping Americans understand who he is and what he stands for.
Because then you're up against Pence and Trump.
Yeah. Let's go to Mike in Florida. You're on the Glenn Beck program. Hi.
Good morning, Glenn and Stu. I know who I'm talking to. I know I'm talking to Pat and the company Kick Toy, Jesse.
That's right.
Thank you.
that's a good way to describe Jeffy, the company Kick Toy. I like that.
Yeah, that's what he is.
Yeah, we'll have to put that on his office door.
There you go.
You say that like it's anyway, not already.
I think Cruz could run again. I mean, if Richard Nixon, remember, you won't have Dick Nixon to kick around anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Of course they did, and they kicked him around pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Cruz could run at some future time. I don't think he could run against Trump or Pence. I don't think he would run against Pence. But I think he has a future. And by the way, you guys said that Bobby Jindal was the one who drank the water during the speech.
Yeah.
That was Marco Rubio.
No, that's another one.
Rubio did it also, but it was Jindal first.
Don't take Jindal off the pedestal. He was number one. Okay.
Thanks, Mike.
Remember Rubio doing it.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Yeah, Marco definitely did it. That was the one where he was speaking from Florida. I got there where he needed that bottle of water and he was waiting for it.
Mm-hmm.
Pat, could I take some liberties with the company Kick Toy, if I might?
Sure, absolutely.
Oh, my gosh.
Please do.
What are you talking about? Don't we have to
hey,
break
Jesse,
or something?
You remember that movie Conan the Barbarian?
I do. Well, I mean, I remember my grandfather taking me to it. It's so old now.
Yeah, yeah. Remember the Tree of Woe when they tied him to the Tree of Woe?
Okay.
Yeah, I appreciate you donating your family tree for the prop department there.
Thank you.
Thanks,
you're
Mike.
Welcome. Anything I could do for the cause, I'm here for
the
you.
Company and listener kick toy, which is
it has
fantastic.
Turned into that for
yeah,
some
it has.
Reason.
Yes, it has. James in Texas, welcome to the Glenn Beck program.
Hey, how y'all doing this morning?
Doing good.
I think you a little off base with the whole Bannon audience going to turn on him. I don't see that. I'm not a Bannon fan.
Mm-hmm.
I've been listening to the show the last couple of months because I can't handle Fox News anymore. But you listen to their callers, and I mean, like this morning, for example, it was one after another. Everybody's all outraged about the Trump DACA thing, you know. And mm-hmm. I don't see them running from it.
I'm not sure we said anything about Bannon's audience. Have we? Appreciate the call,
no,
James.
Really.
Yeah,
I don't know that we've. Will Steve Bannon be done with his audience? I don't think we've commented on that. What is happening though is he's being destroyed with the American people by Trump.
Yeah,
I think that is happening. Now, will his audience stick with him? I don't know. I'm not familiar enough with Steve Bannon's audience to know, or that I wasn't even aware he had a show until there was a news story about what he said on it.
Yeah.
So
well, he had the show before he started before he went with Trump.
Yeah, he's got some kind of relationship with Sirius XM.
Yeah, on the Patriot Channel. And
yeah.
Then with Breitbart.
Right.
And then...
he runs Breitbart.
I think he went away. Well, yeah, he stepped away from running Breitbart. And then he's, you know, the stories all say he's back running it now. So, look.
As far as a radio show, though... No idea.
I mean, no idea. Yeah.
So I don't know anything about it, whether he wins or loses.
I mean,
an
maybe
audience
that's
there.
Why. And maybe he realized, look, you know, if you want to go that direction, maybe you use that in the direction of how he was, you know, playing nice late last night with Donald Trump,
mm-hmm.
realizing, you know, if I go on my radio show and I've been a Trump guy all this time, now all these Trump people are going to be coming.
They'll turn on him.
You'll turn on him fast.
Yeah, that's a good point. Jake in Utah. You're on the Glenn Beck program. Hi.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing good.
Hey, my comment was, it's Utah for you. I was telling your screener that. It's you've lived in Utah. This is slowly turning into California. It's awful. But anyway, to the point, Orrin Hatch, I'm no fan of his. And
me neither.
I'm no fan of Romney either. And living in Utah, I've seen... I was contracted and did work on a home in Park City for a gentleman that bought the home from Mitt. It was probably, you know, well, I won't get into what the home value was, but it was
a couple bucks,
nothing less than ridiculous. But,
yeah.
You know, you just generally get the feeling that he can just buy his way into this, you know, into this seat. And it's frustrating because, you know, we just don't, it doesn't seem like we're getting the option to pick.
Is there, I mean, I don't think Romney's actually officially announced, though, has he? So we're just speculating that he's going to run for Hatch's vacated seat. But who would you...
That's everything you hear in the news here.
Everybody
just expects it.
Is there somebody you have in mind that would be a better choice?
I don't know if Mike Lee has a brother. Hey, one other question. I wanted to ask Jeffy, how do you waltz through life so... freely with no shame.
Thanks, you know, Jake.
I was kind of on your side for the whole Utah Fornia thing, and then
I thought that was going to go in good direction for you, but
I know.
No, you can't have that.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck
with Pat Gray and Jeffy. Immediately following this broadcast, make sure you tune in for my show, Pat Gray Unleashed, on the Blaze Radio and TV Network.
Is that every day?
Monday through Friday, yes.
Really?
Every day, Monday through Friday. Oh, tomorrow we've got kind of a special by popular demand show coming back on Pat Gray Unleashed. We, right before the Christmas break, we did a show of the best audio clips of the year and past years. and heard a lot of good things about it. So we're bringing that back.
We took some
tomorrow
requests.
On Pat Gray or Unleashed. Yes,
took some requests. It was really, really fun. Good show.
It was fun.
You know, Mike in Utah made a good point though, and I will. You know, I know he had to get his little stick in on me. It's okay, but I wanted to say before he left that you know, he makes a good point about not being able to really choose. You know, Orrin Hatch says goodbye, anoints Mitt. Mitt walks into the office.
Doesn't have to be that way. People still have the right to vote for whomever they want.
Right, but who's going to run?
It's sad that we're that kind of sheep.
I know.
That we're lemmings.
I know.
Let's step out on our own and go a different way. It's not a binary choice. It doesn't have to be.
I know. That sounds good.
We need to stop going along with that flow. And that's all we heard during the campaign. It's binary choice. Got to vote for either Trump or Hillary. I don't like either one of them. Nope. Sorry. You got to choose. I don't want to. Sorry. You have to choose. Binary choice. If we stopped accepting it, it would change, wouldn't it?
You would hope.
If we stopped accepting it. Sharon in Mississippi. You're on the Glenn Beck program. Hi.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi.
I happen to think that Donald Trump decided to run for president, and he decided to win a long time before anybody did. I saw a large segment of the Washington Correspondents' Dinner where Obama had invited Trump and Melania to come to that dinner, and then they spent the whole 2 hours, Obama and all the comedians, roasting Trump.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And if you saw
he was
his
really
face,
pissed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you were watching his face as the hour went on, he was by the end of it, he was clenching his jaw and nodding his head.
Yeah, he didn't like
it. He was very upset.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and they shouldn't have done that to him. I mean, he was a guest.
Right.
And, you know, and the first person that told Donald Trump that if he ever ran for president, he would win and she would vote for him was Pat Nixon.
Oh, wow.
Pat Nixon told him that way back after they left the White House, so it had to have been like the 80s.
Would have had to have been a long time ago. Thanks, Sharon.
Glenn Beck. Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
Pat and Jeffy for Glenn all this week. 888-727-BECK. Something I've noticed lately, first of all, Hoda Kotb is everywhere. You can't get away from her anymore.
Hoda is NBC now.
She is.
I mean, every time I turn on NBC, there's Hoda.
She's, of course, she's the replacement for Matt Lauer. And so they've got her on that show, and she's still doing the Hoda and Kathy Lee or Kathy Lee and Hoda show
because it looks like Kathy Lee's off.
And Laura Bush, Jenna Bush.
Who looks a lot
Jenna Bush,
like
the daughter... is on NBC a lot now too. She's on the morning show as well as this one too. Maybe she's just filling in for Kathy Lee today. I'm not sure.
Yes, I'm not sure. I mean,
so it's fun to see Jenna on NBC. That seems like a weird match, doesn't it? Unless Jenna's liberal, and I don't really know her politics.
Yeah, you know, the last time I talked to Jenna,
but Jenna, my daughter, is on I just saw her on the magic box in my living room because she's not actually in the house, but I can see her anyway on this magic box from somewhere else.
I'm in my house.
So, but here I am in Texas, and she's not there, but I can see her anyway on the magic box. 888-727 Beck. We've been talking a lot about the Trump ban. It seems to be what's on everybody's mind.
Well, it's interesting.
It's going to be a sad divorce.
Right. It sure is.
It's going to be a sad divorce.
It is.
Who's going to get custody of, say, Michael Savage? Will it be, you know, because he's such a favored child of both of them. It's going to be sad to see one of them part with Michael Savage.
I know. I know it's going
to
be.
It's heartbreaking, you know, to see these kinds of divorces happen and what that does to the kids.
Yeah, most of the
like
time,
Michael.
Most of the time, children are resilient, but you never know.
You never know. So we wish him well.
We do?
Not really, okay. No. Because they certainly don't. He doesn't reciprocate, I'll tell you that. Anyway, we're going to talk about this sometime during the course of the day. This 10-year-old founder of a drag club for kids. It's about time. You know, if there's one thing I think we all felt like was missing in America. It was a drag club for kids.
Is this the one in Canada? Is this the kid in Canada? With the parents? I mean,
no, it's in New York City.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
Good. Mm-hmm. I'm glad it's here in the States. Let's go.
From Brooklyn.
Sick of being number two.
Yeah, his name is Desmond Napolis, but he's better known by his drag name. Desmond is amazing.
I got to see if this is the kid I know, because there's a couple of them that are pretty strong young drag kids.
Really?
Yeah. They perform and they do a really good job.
Seems
really
like this kid
job.
Does.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does. Also, Attorney General Jeff Sessions is rescinding the Obama-era policy that kind of paved the way for all of these legalized marijuana states to be left alone and let them flourish, let them do their own thing, despite the fact it's against federal law. We're just going to ignore it. He is apparently, according to people familiar with the plan, he's about to change that.
Good luck.
And maybe go after these states.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Mr. Sessions, Mr. Attorney General.
Very interesting at this point.
I'll find that. I mean, he may do it. Good luck making it happen.
Not sure what the state's rights outcome would be on that. You know, the 10th Amendment. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if, in fact, as is widely thought, federal law kind of supersedes the state law.
I understand that, but we were way down that road, my friend.
Yeah, we are.
I mean, we're still
fighting
that.
Sanctuary cities.
Right. And we're still fighting the sanctuary cities. Everybody's trying to walk that fine line to still keep their funding, even though I think a judge already said that they couldn't cut the funding to the sanctuary cities, right? That's what Trump wanted to do, and I think a judge already said, no, you're not going to cut the funding to the cities. So that's out the window, at least for now, unless they want to go up against, you know, take it to court again. But a lot of these cities that are afraid of that are saying, especially, I don't know, one that I'm familiar with, I don't know, Dallas, where the mayor says that we're not a sanctuary city.
Yeah.
You know, he says we're not a sanctuary city, but
they are.
Everything that they do makes them a sanctuary city.
Yes.
You know, so he says it.
Yeah.
So then it's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, because they don't want to lose their federal
right.
funding. Obviously. Tanya in Iowa, welcome to the Glenn Beck Program with Pat and Jeffy.
Hi, Stu and Doc.
Thanks, Tanya. Appreciate that.
Wow. You know, I just had to call and say I'm just a little bit irritated with, I guess, your little bit of a change of attitude since the Christmas break. And I don't know whether it's a vibe I am wrong on.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like since Christmas.
What is my change of attitude since Christmas?
I don't know. I feel like you've really embraced kind of Trump as a person and not differentiated between what maybe his administration has done and who he is. I remember a Facebook post from you in the fall before the election, and it was fantastic, talking about how character matters. How
oh, yeah.
not
oh,
a real champion for the unborn.
Yes.
You know, I was so impressed by that. I just feel like your tone has changed a bit and was wondering if you if the election was held tomorrow, would you vote for Trump based on this past year, same candidates?
Who's running against him?
Same candidates.
The same Republican candidates, or it's Trump and Hillary?
Same ticket as there was on election day,
the
day that we all voted.
Who's the third party candidate? I see there's too many variables, but probably not. Because my attitude certainly hasn't changed on character matters. Obviously, that's important to me. What we have said since the election is we're going to give him a chance to see what he does as president. Show us. Maybe we'll be wrong. And as far as his policies and some of the things he's accomplished, I think he's pleasantly surprised me. As far as
which
character,
we have said.
Yeah, I stand by all the character issues.
And the post really was, I don't remember exactly when that was, whether it was before the nomination of Donald Trump or after.
Oh, yeah, right? You're talking about before, right?
Because before election day, but after Republican.
Yeah.
I mean, those were tough times.
Yes, but when you talk about his Supreme Court nomination,
to be able to do that, we were supposed to be able to do that then.
What are your impressions of the Trump administration so far?
My impression, I'll give him credit when credit is due, but I think you need to be very careful as to not to give the man Trump the credit, because I don't think his character follows to the success of the policies that you are pleased with. I think it may be more of an administration. We need to be careful to give Trump too much credit, because I think he's going to change the face of the Conservative Party
That's already done.
Yeah, and I certainly don't support that. What I do support is the Supreme Court nomination, the EPA regulations he's overturned, getting us out of the Paris Accord, the TPP treaty, giving state lands back to states like Utah, huge gains in the war on ISIS, giving a pay raise to the troops. He's declared Jerusalem the capital of Israel, and he's going to move the embassy. Those are things I absolutely agree with. Now, as far as his tweets, and we've continued to talk about the fact that his tweets got to stop. He's just got
to
stop that.
And they're not going to.
And
but that's kind of where Tanya's coming from, right? Though, is that we're giving credit to the man instead of the administration, but he's the head of the administration. I mean, he's the guy.
Yeah, right? I mean Trump is. He's actually done these things.
The guy? Is he the guy, or have you just appointed people that are really doing
But it doesn't matter, right? I mean, that's the
point.
Know,
but the policies I like. But you're right. I mean, I have not changed in my belief that he wasn't the best man for this job. I mean, that'll never change.
Okay.
And would I vote for a similar person under similar circumstances? Absolutely not. Would I vote for him against Hillary? Only if there were only, that was the only choice. If it really was a binary choice, I would make that choice. But if there's anybody else, because I think it's my duty as an American to vote. And so, if there was a third party choice that I liked, I would absolutely go third party again, just as I did last time.
And everything fell in place for Donald Trump, speaking of that, because the third party, we had hoped for a better choice.
Yeah. What I would say, though, Tanya, is my attitude today doesn't reflect the character of Donald Trump. It's the concrete policies you can put your finger on.
Okay, I do agree with that. I'm glad to hear that. I was getting nervous, you guys.
No, absolutely not. We haven't changed in that way. Appreciate it. Thanks for the call. Hold our feet to the fire. We try to be consistent, and that's what we said as soon as, I think the election was on November 8th, was it? And on November 9th, we said, okay, he won. Let's see what he does. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt.
I mean, when we were taking such heat was because of the primaries, right? Because we wanted to step up against the primaries and vote for the person who we thought was the best. And then what brought this all on, of course, is we were talking earlier today about could any of them stand up today and run for president? And I say no, not a chance. Donald Trump has burned and scorched that group forever.
Yeah. And not that is a good thing to us.
No. Oh my gosh.
So if you're misconstruing the fact that we're saying that these candidates are tainted by Trump, that's not an endorsement of doing that to these guys.
Because
I'd love to have a guy like Ted Cruz to vote for again.
Yes.
I mean, he was. I think we made it pretty clear he was almost the ideal candidate. I thought he was a better candidate than Ronald Reagan, and I stand by that.
I mean, he was no Jim Gilmore. But
no, but who is?
Thank you.
Only Jim Gilmore himself.
Thank you.
And we haven't changed on that either.
No, we have not.
Cliff in North Carolina, you're on the Glenn Beck program. Hi.
Hey, Pat and Jeff.
Hey.
How you guys doing?
Doing good.
Good.
I really like what Trump's been doing so far, but I think if Ben Carson had been true to his principles, Ted Cruz would be the president.
Thank you.
You're the second person today that brought that up, and that's
interesting.
Really good point. That
I'd forgotten
kind of
about the Ben Carson stuff.
I know
that's where Trump took off on the Lion Ted thing, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Ben knew that Cruz was not responsible for that CNN.
Yes, he did.
Absolutely, he did.
And he sided with Trump, who was further away from his attitude and position and character than was Cruz.
That's for sure.
And if he had sided with Cruz instead, because Cruz was catching up.
Yeah. No, you're right. There's a lot to be said for that.
Yes, there is.
That Ben Carson is at least as responsible as Donald Trump for the fact that that campaign didn't work out.
And it didn't work out for Ben really either. I mean, after he played along, then Trump just destroyed him.
Crushed him too.
He threw him a bone and gave him a job.
Yeah.
Right after. Yeah. So, I mean, thanks for playing along. But, I mean, he destroyed him along the way.
Amazing. Yeah, I'd forgotten about the Ben Carson situation.
I know. I have, too.
It's 888-727 Beck.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
It's Pat and Jeffy for Glenn. He'll be back on Monday morning. 888-727 Beck. The Bannon-Trump battle. Fascinating. Especially since the book hasn't even come out. We're just hearing excerpts about what Bannon apparently said in the book. Kind of backed up in part by one of Donald Trump's former advisors, Sam the Noonan. He was interviewed yesterday by Essie Cupp and basically said some of the quotes weren't right, but the tone and the general
overall,
feeling.
Yeah, the overall gist of it was right.
Was
yeah.
True. So I'm kind of excited to see what comes out of this book.
It'll be fun.
And what comes out of this battle. And again, in this divorce between Trump and Bannon, who gets custody of the kids?
I know.
Like Michael Savage.
I know.
I don't, man. It's frightening.
It's tough. It's the War of the Roses, man.
It's going to be another battle between them, I'm sure.
I know. But you know what, Pat? It's not going to matter. I don't care.
It's not going to matter?
Nope.
Why?
Because I'm winning the $550 million lotto on Saturday for the Powerball.
Wow, it's up to 550 now?
Well, that's right now. It'll be at least $550 million on Saturday.
Well, you said
the Powerball, and then
twice before during the course of this week.
You don't want to win when it's so small. And,
yeah, you don't want to settle for $428
million. I mean, well, excuse Mega is Friday, and that's only $418.
Not even worth bothering with yet.
Barely. Do I get a ticket?
No.
I doubt it.
No.
But $550 for Saturday with...
You'll consider that?
I'm doing that, yeah.
Well, when you get to $500 million, you're starting to talk about real money.
Right. The cash value for that is $348 million. Now, that may... You know, I might be able to live on that.
So the cash value is what? Generally about 60%?
Something like that. Yeah, between 50 and 60.
And then you're going to get another 45 taken out with state and federal tax?
Yeah, yeah.
So now you're down to, you know.
Holy cow, I don't even want to play the 550 now. Yeah. I got to wait for it to get up to a billion.
Yes. Not even worth
it. Why are you bringing me down?
Not even worth looking at.
Shoot.
There's another gender studies professor who is trying to make a splash by saying that, Disney princesses in Sleeping Beauty and Snow White were sexually assaulted. The princes in those Disney movies are sex offenders. Kazuo Muda, professor at Osaka University.
I love Osaka University, by the way.
Oh, well, who doesn't?
I get their weekly newsletter.
Yeah, I bet it's good.
Oh.
I love their football team. It's
the Osaka Generals?
Unbeaten.
Good.
They're unbeaten. Good. He claims that two Disney movies portray obscene sexual acts on unconscious partners. Charged that it was sexual violence. Oh, man. He said, when you think rationally about Snow White and Sleeping Beauty that tell of a princess being woken up by the kiss of a prince, they're describing sexual assault on an unconscious person. You might think I'm ruining the fantasy of it all, but these stories are promoting sexual violence, and I would like to see everyone be aware of it. Okay, we've officially crossed the line into absolute, total, and complete civilization insanity. Can we stop with this stuff?
I mean,
and of course the answer is no, we can't.
No, we're not going to.
We're not going to. They're going to absolutely ruin everything.
They have to.
Jeff in Pennsylvania, welcome to the Glenn Beck program.
Yes, hi guys, thanks for taking my call. Long time listener here, first time caller. I just disagreed with Tanya, the one caller, in regards to character about President Trump.
Yeah.
And you guys too, I've listened to for a long time and was disappointed that you really didn't support him when he was running for office. I know over the years you said we had to hold our nose and pick Romney. We had to vote for Romney. We had to vote for McCain. And, you know, obviously Trump has done a much better job since he's been in office being a conservative than either one of those two guys. And as far as character goes, look at all the stuff that's coming out with Gloria Allred and her daughter and, trying to pay people to smear these candidates and smear people that are running for office that has been found not to be true. You look at the FBI and the CIA and the corruption that's going on there. I think Trump's character
compared to a lot of these other organizations and people within these organizations who are sending out tweets in favor of Hillary Clinton, this Strzok guy, and some of these other people, his character is much higher than theirs. He has much more character than they have. And I don't mind his tweets at all. I think they're funny in a lot of ways. And I think they go directly to the American people.
Well, people,
and I think they say what needs to be said.
Yeah. It's just an interesting tactic for the president of the United States to take. And we've just generally, I think, considered that office above that type of thing. It's just a different way of doing things. That's for sure.
Right. Different way. And I know he wasn't my first candidate. I would have supported Ted Cruz. I like Ted Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
And probably I had another one before Trump. But since he's been in office, he's done more to help the conservative party than the conservatives who are supposedly in the party.
Yeah.
A lot of these rhino conservatives, terrible.
It's hard to argue with that. It's actually hard to argue with that.
Sure is.
I know. And Tanya was trying to tie character to that. And obviously, she sounded like she wasn't a Trump supporter or a never Trump type person. And I think a lot of that character goes, he's done a lot himself personally with these executive actions and the pipeline, the Gorsuch pick that you guys talked about, and a lot of other things that he's done that I think go to character. I mean, somebody with character would make those decisions. The Paris Accord and a lot of the things that he's done to reverse a lot of the things that Obama put in place.
Yes.
To get the economy stimulated and going.
I mean, I think it's hard to argue with any of that.
A good case.
Yeah, appreciate it, Jeff. Thanks a lot. 888-727-BECK. Pat and Jeff for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program.
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
With Pat and Jeffy.
You get that in your head all day.
That's some happy music there. It's going to be stuck in your head forever because, wow, that's catchy. 888-727-BECK. Meryl Streep, in the wake of all this sexual harassment stuff, and especially as it concerns Dustin Hoffman, she's speaking out about her experience with him in 1979 when they filmed Kramer versus Kramer. Which I think won.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
Best picture in 79.
They might even have won Oscars for that movie.
Yeah. Apparently he slapped her during a scene. And I don't know if it was called for in the script or if he just improvised that, but it stuck and it was in the movie. And she says that he stepped over the line there.
Oh, God.
When you're an actor, it's tricky when it comes to shooting scenes because you have to feel free. I'm sure that I've inadvertently hurt people in physical scenes, but there's a certain amount of forgiveness in that. On the first day on the set of Kramer versus Kramer, he slapped her, and she said that was overstepping. So I guess she's confirming here that because of that, Dustin Hoffman is a dirtbag. Then she goes on to talk about Harvey Weinstein. Everybody in Hollywood knows about Harvey Weinstein.
Absolutely.
It was so bad that, what's his face? Seth MacFarlane put it in one of his episodes of one of his shows.
Same with
come on.
Kevin Spacey.
And are you telling me Seth MacFarlane knows more about Harvey Weinstein than Meryl Streep does? The queen of Hollywood?
Yeah, well, there's, you know, one of the things, no.
But she claims ignorance here. Well, there were rumors, of course, but I dismissed them.
She's falling on that just like everyone else that was inside with Harvey that said, look, we all knew he was a dirtbag, which I kind of buy a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
We all know he's a dirtbag. It was Harvey. He was always like that. He was a jerk to people, but we didn't know that he'd gone that far.
Yeah. She says, I didn't know that he was any way abusing people.
And that's their out. Right. That's their out.
He never asked me to a hotel room. Yeah, I bet he didn't.
Yeah, no kidding. That should tell you something, Meryl.
Why would anybody ask Meryl Streep to a hotel room?
Why do they even want her in movies?
You wouldn't. But she says, I don't know how his life was conducted without people intimately knowing about it. Right, like you, Meryl. However, when it comes down to it, Streep doesn't want to hear about her silence. She doesn't want to hear about it. She says, I want to hear about the silence of Melania Trump. Are you kidding me? I want to hear from her. She has so much that's valuable to say. And so does Ivanka. I want to hear them speak now. About what? Okay, so there's
the allegations against the father and husband?
The allegations that are unproven, just like with Harvey Weinstein, right? And everybody's talked about it. We've actually heard him say things, like on that tape with Billy Bush, that are despicable. And there's no question about it. And we just heard from a woman in Iowa who's wondering about the tone today. Well, we haven't been talking about his character, but when it comes to that, yeah, that's despicable what he said to Billy Bush. And you know he has that he had that opinion that he as a celebrity could do what he wanted to women, and that's wrong.
Whether he actually acted on it,
I don't know. But there's certainly rumors, and there are certainly people who have accused him. Now you're exonerating yourself from all the Harvey Weinstein stuff.
Absolutely, she is.
But now you're jumping into this because of politics.
Yes, absolutely.
That's despicable, too.
Well, she is.
That is despicable and pathetic.
She is. Maybe, but listen, I'm going to tell you something right now, Pat. I bet you that she's going to have the best black dress.
Oh, you know she is.
At the awards this weekend.
At the Golden Globes. Because, all the women are wearing black in support of women who've been abused or... statement against abusers or
yes,
black is really thinning.
Yes.
I'm not sure what the statement is, but
I mean, hopefully Meryl will have a $10,000 or $15,000Gucci brooch that says #MeToo.
Oh,
I mean,
$10,000 or $15,000. That's like, that's cosmetic jewelry to her. That's costume jewelry. It's costume jewelry. She wouldn't bother with $10,000 or $15,000.
I apologize.
And can you imagine how agonizing
it's going to be? Bad.
That broadcast is going to be.
Oh man, it's going to be. Hey, sadly, I'm going to have to watch it, but it's going to be agonizing.
We'll have to watch just to see how much
it's going to be agonizing.
Yeah,
but Kramer versus Kramer. Wow, 1980. Best picture, best actor in a leading role, best actress, best director, best writing.
Wow.
Best supporting actor, best actress in a supporting role, best cinematography, best, I mean, wow.
How many awards did it win?
Wow.
Jeez.
It won 5 Oscars. It won 5. It was nominated for 9 or 10.
It was a great movie, though.
Yeah.
A great movie.
I know.
888-727 Beck, Jeremy at Oregon. You're on the Glenn Beck program. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to ask you guys' opinion. There's a potential Republican candidate that you haven't mentioned, and that is Trey Gowdy. I think that he's been smart enough to kind of stay out of the media unless he's saying something intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just curious what you guys thought of that.
I like Trey Gowdy, and I especially like him at the hearings, and that's where he shines.
Sure is.
I doubt he'd ever run because he wouldn't even run against Lindsey Graham. I think he's too establishment Republican to do that.
Well, he proved that right because he wouldn't run against Lindsey. I mean, that was an establishment thing where he was like, "No, that's my homeboy. That's
right.
I'm staying.
Not going
to
do that
alone." Mm-hmm. And also remember that when we had the chance to vote against what's his face as Speaker. The drunk from Ohio.
Boehner.
Boehner, yeah.
John Boehner.
He wouldn't do that, right?
He wouldn't do that either. Yeah. So, I mean, there's some question marks surrounding Trey Gowdy, like where he stands on many different issues, which I'm not aware of. But he seems like he'd be a great candidate.
He does. Absolutely.
I agree with you on that, Jeremy.
Most of the time, he says a lot of the right things, man.
He does.
You're going right. Absolutely.
Yeah, he does.
And I'm guessing as a prosecutor, he didn't lose much.
No, he's.
I would not want to be against him in the courtroom.
Right.
Yeah.
Rich in Florida, welcome to the Glenn Beck program with Pat and Jeffy.
Yes. Gentlemen, how are you today?
Doing good.
Hey, I have a theory or concept for you, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
This money that President Trump has said, we will hold back. Essentially, if they don't play nice with us, we're not going to play nice with them. So, in turn, let's take that money and build the wall.
Well, okay. I'd be okay with that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Your call should maybe be directed to the White House with that statement.
I mean, hold on. Maybe we can patch you in.
It's just take an imaginary number of how much money that would be. Let's start with, what's that place? Island of Spice. Let's take that, and how much money are we sending?
I mean,
that's a good point, Rich. I don't know how much. How much? Well, let's ask the Island of Spice expert.
First of all,
how much aid does the Island of Spice, Grenada, receive from the United States?
Not enough. Okay, it's never enough, Rich.
Thanks, Rich. Right. Appreciate it.
Never enough.
But I'm ready to just stop foreign aid to countries that that stab
and
us in the back at every
maybe
turn.
Maybe that's what he's doing, right? He's cut off of 2.5 million or billion from the UN.
It was 285 million.
He's cut off. He's now saying he's not going to give any money to the Palestinians.
Possibly.
He's not going to give any money to Pakistan.
Possibly.
right.
Yes.
Of course. So, I mean, those are big chunks of money.
That could add up and pay for the
sure
wall.
It could.
I don't think it'll be handled that way, but that's not a bad idea. Larry in Florida, you're on the Glenn Beck program. Hi.
Hi, Trump's not going anywhere. He's going to run in 2020, and he'll win in 2020.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, if he runs again, he definitely will win.
Is there anybody on the Democrat side that you're concerned about that might pose a pretty formidable challenge to him?
To be honest, I don't think there's anyone in America, there's not a face or a name in politics or out of politics, I think can beat the man in 2020.
I know. I agree with that.
You might be right.
Especially.
Thanks.
He's a juggernaut. And I will admit I'm biased. I've been a fan and I've been a supporter since the escalator.
Oh, have you? Wow. Right.
Oh, yeah. Against all odds, against my friends, even against my father, who was a diehard Republican, you know, Reagan Republican, war veteran, and he just thinks I'm crazy. Even today, with Trump's successes, everybody still thinks I'm crazy.
Did you listen to us during the campaign, Larry?
I'm sorry?
Did you listen to the Glenn Beck program during the campaign?
Almost every day. I do a lot of windshield time.
You must have been pissed off at us.
I chew on a piece of rope. I keep it in my truck.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kidding.
All right. Thanks a lot.
I've got
Appreciate
some rope
the call.
I'd like to sell you.
Yeah.
That's what we were getting at, though, right? Is that
he's a juggernaut,
right?
Yeah.
And if he runs in 2020. Obviously, you know, I don't know that the Democrats have anyone to run against them. No one's going to primary.
Elizabeth Warren is who's talked about all the time.
Stop it.
Joe Biden, he'll be too old. I mean,
Joe may have had a better chance than Hillary this time
2016,
around.
Maybe. Yeah.
But those guys, they're not going to beat him now. He can destroy them with a wave of his hand.
What about Lincoln Chafee if he again brings back his plan to bring us a new measuring system? What if we go metric? What if...
If we can get someone to actually comment on it and show that that's what Lincoln wants. This last time they just brushed it over wasn't. It didn't even happen.
Right. The mainstream media brushed that under the rug because it was too powerful a policy
position. Too controversial.
Too controversial, but too powerful. The American people would have been all over his candidacy if they'd known that he was trying to bring back the metric system. That was such a great speech, Woody.
So good.
That was so good. It was like his main focus was the metric system.
So good.
Yeah, Lincoln, I don't know if you're aware of that. We had that chance back in the 70s and 80s and said, no, thank you then.
We're not doing it now.
We're not doing it now.
Nah, it's not going to happen, bro.
Matt in Florida, you're on the Glenn Beck program. Hi.
Hey, Glenn. Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Quick question for you. If I could ask two, that'd be great. But quick question. Do you guys think at all Ted Cruz might have lost his chance to be president instead of everybody else?
Yeah.
Oh,
you guys
yes.
Like to blame?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I mean, we've covered it for most of the show, but since Pat and I were perusing it off the air, we just took it to the air.
A, but he pissed off Trump supporters in a big way. B, he pissed off his supporters like us when he then did the 180 on Trump.
When he said he wouldn't.
Then he did.
Yep.
Yeah, it was. So that makes it tough for him.
And no matter what. I mean, he's still a good guy. I'll still vote for him for senator here in
Texas.
Better
believe it. Yes. And I'd vote for him again for president if he ran. I would.
You would, huh?
Yeah.
See, the thing that got me was his spiel. He would basically start a question off, and then he'd tell his story, and then he'd answer the question, and it'd be 45 minutes later. And I would, like, go to a commercial, and then I'd come back, and he'd still be talking about the same thing. I just couldn't handle it. I think a lot of people just maybe felt a little bored.
Yes.
Although he has good policies and everything else,
yes.
I just didn't think it was a good fit.
Well, that was his plan that didn't work out, right? I mean, that was his game plan to go up against Trump.
His biggest problem is His biggest problem was his communication skills.
No question.
He doesn't have them.
No question. And then when you're being destroyed, when you're being, you know, Lion Ted and blah, 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 to death from the man himself,
mm-hmm.
at every turn, you just don't have a shot. And that was what started it, right? Donald Trump destroyed those candidates.
Mm-hmm.
Where I personally, they could never run for president again. I mean, I know we went down the list and we've covered it ad nauseum, but I don't think they could do it. I don't think any of them could. Not for president.
Which I think maybe Jindal, maybe Scott Walker, maybe Carly Fiorina, maybe. But we'll see. In 2020, they may not have the opportunity because they're not running against a sitting president.
Right.
So all of that is only if he decides not to try for a second term. 888-727-BECK.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Pat and Jeffy for Glenn, 888-727-BECK. You can also tune in for my show, Pat Gray Unleashed, which is immediately following this show on the Blaze Radio and TV network. This is interesting. Rap for the first time ever. R&B, hip-hop, rap, whatever you want to call it, has overtaken rock as the most popular musical genre for the first time ever.
About time.
Isn't it, though?
About time.
We've all been waiting for this. Get rid of that rock.
Thank you. It's boring and tiresome.
Give me some Jay-Z or whatever. 8 of the 10 most listened to artists of the year came from R&B, hip-hop. Led by Drake, Kendrick Lamar, and then Latin music, I guess, has spiked over time, too. That's way up. Hip-hop dominated the charts in 2017 with viral hits such as Lil Uzi's Vert's EXO Tour. I missed that one. Not as into Lil Uzi as I probably should be.
I mean, that Vert's EXO Tour.
Yeah, please.
The Vert's EXO Tour, Lil F3.
Mm-hmm. It was huge. Don't get me wrong.
Great.
Ed Sheeran's Divide was the most popular album, supposedly, with 2.8 million album equivalent units. What's an album equivalent unit? Is that like if you download the thing from plus the actual copies of CDs that you buy? I don't know.
Sure.
2.8 million. Then, and that was followed by Kendrick Lamar's Damn at 2.7 and Taylor Swift's Reputation 2.3. So rock has been supplanted. Will that last? I don't know. But it just shows you I've got no place in this society anymore. I guess I'm too white now for even to listen to music.
Good night, America.
Good night. Drive safely. We'll see you tomorrow right here and coming up next on Pat Gray Unleashed on Blaze Radio and TV.
Glenn Beck.